Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
I've got more than enough cups up here. I'm going to just give myself some space. For those that don't know, I actually am the pastor of Coastal, and I have not been preaching for a while. I'd like to introduce myself. Actually have been here 17 years, so yeah. You just missed me in the last couple of weeks, but I'm happy to be back and happy to be in my own bed and have almost beaten the jet lag. It takes me a little longer to get the jet lag sorted out when I come this way. So it's wow, man! You guys can sing and usher the presence of God into a place. It's hard to actually stand here in the front. Presence of God comes in His weightiness, and that's what He wants. He wants to inhabit the praises of His people, and we get that wonderful privilege. And so, if you're visiting for the first time, it's great to have you with us. And those that are hearing me speak for the first time, even though you've been here 4 weeks already, I will do my best. I have big shoes to fill, considering who's all ministered in the last 4 weeks. I just really have fought God's word and with the anointing and. And it's been a great time of the word from the pulpit. And so I am excited about sharing this morning while we're continuing with the theme this year as we're drilling into being fearless and faithful, because 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And sometimes you got to grip your head and make it think the right way. And so you have to be aggressive with it and be like David. Why are you cast down, my soul? Put your trust in God. And so when we get together like this, it's so important that we get together, because it stirs our faith, encourages us that we're top of the pile. We're the King's kids. And so if He be for us, who can be against us? So He has not given us a spirit of fear. So we're drilling down on this being fearless and faithful. And so we need to be confident in our walk of faith, knowing the one whom who we have faith in. We need to be solid, fully persuaded as we look into that. We may want to just adjust the because it looks like I'm in a well here, and it sounds like I'm in a well. But hallelujah! How do you know, and how do you get to know somebody, and how do you get to have that confidence of being in a relationship with somebody? Well, you need to spend time with that person. You need to spend time talking to that person. And you need to go through tough times with that person. And if that relationship was with God, then you get to build a relationship because you've spent time with Him. You've also spent time communicating with Him. And you've also spent time going through the tough times with Him. And I've watched His faithfulness. And of some of the toughest times we've gone through, Al and I, I've always said, all this stuff, we don't see God's fingerprints on there, but we do sense His spirit as He pulls us through and as he's faithful. And Daniel, the book of Daniel 11:32, it's just kind of a theme scripture. The people who know their God will be strong and resist Him. Who's Him? The one that will continually badger your faith, will continually press you and make you fearful. And so we're the ones who know our God. And so when you, like Lester Sumrall, when he was pushed across his bedroom by the demonic forces. He woke up, he says, oh, it's only you, and went back to sleep again. Because they're confident in the God he serves. He says, oh, by the way, before you leave, push my bed back. And that's the kind of confidence we need to have in the God we serve. So don't dabble with God or Jesus. Get involved, get connected, and then be able to watch this the purpose of your life and your destiny be fulfilled. And so while I was saying that scripture, and Daniel is reminding us that we're busy going through our scriptural readings as a church, and we're in Daniel, digging in there, going through his life, and that guy was single-minded and focused on who his God was. No decree sent from the hill ever changed his stand, even when they chucked him in the lion's den. And his comrades were chucked into a furnace that was made 7 times hotter. You don't bow, you don't burn. Lucky, you can preach that by itself. Hallelujah. But I've titled a new series today. I'm starting it, and it says, and I wanted to title it, Show Us Your Way. We've gone through a series that I spoke on. Jesus, teach us to pray. Today I'm saying, Jesus, show us your way. Show us the way. It's so important because Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but at the end is the way of death. So there is ways, and no, they're not all good ways. And so not all roads lead to Rome, and not all ways are God's ways. And so hence we need to heed one of the wisest men that ever lived, who wrote Proverbs, and he just said that we need to make sure that that the way is right. We go on to see Scripture clearly tells us here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Listen to a message at in a conference that we're in Africa, and talking about not everybody that says, praise the Lord, Jesus this, Jesus that, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, I did not know you. This is a relationship deal that we have here, not a religious deal. This is a relationship deal that we have here. It goes on and says, but narrow is the way, narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Why? Because this Jesus thing is too easy. I can't do this Jesus thing. And so they want to find another way. It's important to understand that our guide and our empowerment comes by the Holy Spirit, but the way that we go is the way of Jesus, because it's the will of the Father. That's why we need to ask Jesus for his way, and the Holy Spirit, who's been sent to be our guide, empowers us. I can't do this Christian thing without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's why we beckoned in our worship time, Holy Spirit, would you come? Like you came and brooded over the water in creation, and as you came and empowered the day of Pentecost, will you come and empower us? Because we need your empowerment to be able to walk the way of God. And so it's his challenge. And Jesus goes on to talk about it. It's red writing in my Bible in John 14:6, and Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. And everybody says, well, that's kind of really very selective. No, it's very inclusive. I want to just say that, whosoever. But religion and society has adjusted, had muddied the way. So we need to go back to Scripture and find out that, are we going the way? And so this series, there are questions we're going to be asking on the way. Would you show us the way, God? I don't want to hear what this person says, and that reference says, and this concordance says. And I want to say, what do you say? So I can follow your way, because that's the way where we can be the victorious church, which needs to rise up in this day. And talking about muddying the waters and not being a correct representation of Jesus as leaders. And you say, well, I'm not up in the pulpit. No, you lead your family. You lead the society and the community that you're in. Your influence is, we need to be an accurate representation of who God is. And so we've got to be careful, because Ezekiel 34 is a very scary thing to read when you see how we muddy the waters for the sheep, and the sheep have to drink muddied water or trampled pastures. We need to make sure we represent a God. And when we come and we represent him with this sloppy grace that anything can happen, don't worry, you're under grace and God will forgive you, or you're on the other side, you better turn or burn and go into hell. Those things would represent a God, and they say, why do you want to serve a God like that? And so we need to represent him well. So I dug a little deeper in that than I wanted to. But John 8:32 says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth has a name. His name is Jesus. She says, you'll know the truth. You'll know Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. And that's what we got to do. We've got to bring people to Jesus, because he's the way. And when he shows us the way, how to walk, then we're the ones that walk in victory. So, yeah, so show us the way, the question is. But men don't like asking questions or directions or anything like that. Sorry to tell on us, guys, but our wives continually tell us we don't like taking directions or reading instructions. especially when we have to assemble something, we don't read any instructions. So when we come now to a series, and I'm encouraging you to ask the question, show us the way, men, you're going to step up, because we have to ask. I'm very thankful. We won't even lower ourselves to listen to Siri. You know, most of the girls are asking Siri, Siri this, Siri that, and Siri answered the question. I better say it quieter, otherwise all the Siris will start chirping. Us guys, you know, ask Siri. Any questions? My son, Daniel, he has taught his Siri to say King Daniel. So every time it answers, it says, King Daniel, this is what you do. King Daniel, this. You can train Siri to actually have the right voice. And thank God for GPS. Because GPS, we don't have to ask for directions. Hopefully GPS gets us there without us men having to ask directions. And if it does take us the wrong way, we've got somebody to blame, us men. And us men are good at blaming. It started back in the garden, and we're doing a great job of it. So Jesus wants us men to get scripturally on track, okay? So men, I'm on you today, because the scripture says here in John 16:24, until now you have asked me nothing in my name. Men, and you will ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So the question today, show us your way. I'm just giving an introduction, so it's important, because Nicodemus was man enough to say, show me the way. How do we get born again when we're old? I mean, the guys, the brethren and the men at the day of Pentecost, when Peter got up and preached, said, what shall we do to be saved? And the jailer, man, he humbled himself and says, what shall we do to be saved? When the jail doors opened and Paul and Silas were still inside and didn't leave. It's we need to be able to be men that can say, show me the way. And it's important for our faith, all of us, to continually approach and say, show us the way. Because not all ways lead the right way. And we need to understand that. And so today, I want to ask Jesus this question. Show us the way, how to hear God. Important that we can get that and deal with that. The question is, does God speak to us today? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. If Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, well, then he must be speaking and we should be able to hear. The question is, what do you value hearing God's voice? Do we value it? Does somebody want to hear God's voice? It's so important that if you don't value it, it is of no importance to you. And if it's not something that you want to know about hearing God's voice right this moment, well, I'm going to give you the next 30 minutes that you can go onto your device, maybe pray for us, catch up on your emails, do your Twitter, whatever you want. But we're going to just talk about how to hear God's voice. We need to kind of get that. And if that's not quite what you want to do, and you say, listen, I just want to kind of hear you on Sundays, Pastor, and we'll run with that. I'm really encouraging you to be able to hear God's voice. And the truth is, we all make time for what we value. You made time to come here. Why? Because you value times together, times to worship in God's presence. What you value, you make time for. So how does one hear God? I want to leave us with just four practical steps that will give us a way to hear God. And these men of God have taught me and shown me, and the fruit in their life tells me that these steps work and adjust. So you may have devices, take notes, good to take notes. If you want to grab the scriptures, take photo shots of the scriptures. If not, just go back online. It's online and you can hear it. So the first thing is to set an appointment. First thing we need to do is set an appointment. If you want to have a conversation with somebody, you set an appointment. And so you make an arrangement to meet, and you make an arrangement and a time to meet. And the Lord even arranged an appointment to meet with these people. And we see that in Exodus 19, 10 and 11, verses 11. And then the Lord told Moses, go down, prepare the people for my arrival. Consecrate them today and tomorrow, and have them wash their clothes. Be sure that they are ready on the third day, for on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai as all the people watch. Verse 19, it goes on. It says, Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply. Well, that created a whole lot of shaking. From then onwards, they just said, listen, Moses, you just go and talk to God, and you just come and tell us what he's saying, because that was a scary deal, man. I mean, that was scarier than a volcano erupting, his voice. So that's one thing everybody just think that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Because when God walks into the room, I tell you what, it's all done. God throughout the Bible spoke to people. From the time Genesis, God spoke to Adam and Eve, and right through to Moses, John on the Isle of Patmos, he spoke. All the way through, you see God spoke to his people. And Moses was instructed to prepare an appointment for God with his people. He made an appointment. I want to meet with my people. And so he made it. It must be noted that this is an appointment that we have with God. And there is a lot of preparation that goes into a meeting like this, because it's an appointment that we've made. It's important that you understand what goes into it. Because if we don't kind of arrange and make an appointment and prepare, well, then it could be a little interesting when you come here on Sunday. When Sue and Sarah don't get to clean up your coffee mugs that you've left underneath there for a week, all sorts of hairy stuff could be growing out of your cups underneath, and your kids have been playing sword fighting with a French loaf, and there could be a bunch of crumbs here, a few palmetto cockroaches could be inhabiting, and then obviously Tom and Linda just, we don't need door greeters today. Guys can come in and just make their own way. Oh, forget the Connect Corner, man. They've left the reservation. Don't worry about them. And then obviously, Fred, we'll just busk it. Yeah, we'll just jam and G. Yeah, and I'll come here and I'll speak from the book of imaginations. What kind of appointment is that? Question, would God show up? He comes to a prepared atmosphere. I want to just say that. He comes to a prepared atmosphere. And I'm saying that today. The church is a weekly appointment for families to meet with God and with one another. It's an important meeting. And so it's important that we get together. How about our daily appointment? Do we set a daily appointment with God? Sometimes we've got to schedule meetings with people we just don't like. It's just one of those things in life. But we schedule a meeting. How much more should we schedule an appointment with a God that absolutely loves us, and we set time aside for him? And so when we need to do a couple of things. We need to make sure there's a time and place when we set an appointment with whoever we're meeting with. And so when we make an appointment with God, we set a time and a place. Literally everybody that's ever stayed in my home would come out in the morning, and they wouldn't even have to say, look at the corner where my lazy boy is, but they would just say good morning because they knew I'd be sitting there. Why? Because I have an appointment. I've actually worn leather into cracks in my leather now. I need to actually upgrade that lazy boy. But I sit and I meet with my God, and it's a time and an appointment. And it's so important for me to have that. And so, and guess what? You can't miss an appointment that you don't make, okay? All right? So if you're feeling good about the appointment and you've missed it because you didn't make it, so it's all right. We have a businessman in the house that had an appointment with a bank manager. Obviously didn't clear the story with him, but I'll keep him anonymous through this story. And it was 2 weeks out, and the day came for the meeting, so he went to see his bank manager and sat down with his bank manager. And while he was chatting to his bank manager, the bank manager, cell phone rang, and so he picked up the cell phone to answer it. And in his process, he just said, you don't mind if I pick up this call? And the coastal businessman said, yes, I do. But obviously, either the bank manager didn't hear him say that or just totally ignored the coastal businessman saying, I don't appreciate you picking up the call. He carried on with the conversation, thinking maybe just shut the conversation down, but he continued with the conversation, so the businessman got up and left the meeting. Later on in the day, the bank manager calls him and says, what happened? Was there an emergency? He says, no, I just had a scheduled meeting with my bank manager, and he was rude enough to have somebody else encroach on my appointment, and so I would not tolerate rudeness. This man doesn't tolerate fools lightly, so that's why. What device, what notifications, what alerts, what else interrupts your appointment that you make with God. It's important that we understand that we have these disruptions that want to encroach on an appointment that I have with Almighty God. And so how can we hear God? He says, excuse me, am I just chopped liver here? I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And here you're allowing that text message just to come and interrupt our conversation. Sadly, many don't even make an appointment. But anyway, point two, be still and worship is the other practical way. Be still requires one to be still. Still your mind. Your mind is a hectic. I don't know. Us guys, we have boxes. Our brains are in boxes so we can find ourselves and still our minds. But I don't know, ladies, it's like the intergalactical web world website. I don't know how you calm your mind down, but you got to shut that sucker down because it's, it is bouncing off all over the place. And so, yeah, still the devices, still the distractions, still the noise. I have a notepad next to me, or if it's not, I have a digital, and it's suddenly I've got to go and clean the pool filter. Well, that's fine. I just type it on there, leave it there. Unpack your brain, and well, it's throwing you all the to-do lists, and just write it there until it shuts down and quietens down, and then go on from there. Because Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Exodus 14:13 says, but Moses told the people, do not be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. And so we live such busy, pressured lives. We got to stop, step back, and be still. Otherwise, it's very difficult to hear God in this clutter and in this busyness. So it's important that you understand that. Start by allowing God to love you when I'm talking about being still and worship. I learned this in preparation of an Easter sunrise service when I saw 1 John 4:19 and it says, you love because I first loved you. And I realized that I could not love anybody, could not sort anything out, I could not do anything in my life until I had sat on my Father's lap and allowed Him to love me, because that's the purpose He made us, so He can love us. But we do not give Him access to loving us because we always got something to say. We always have a to-do list. We always have a needs list that we come to Him, God this, God that, and God says, can you just let me love you? And if you just sit on His lap and allow Him to love you, what does that look like? Allow your mind to ponder on all the good, great things that He's done for us, and He will stimulate a lot more thoughts and reminders as you spend that time. And when you do spend that time, it then brings you into that place of stillness and a place of worship. And so when you get to listen to some people, listen to music and listen to the lyrics of the song, or you pick up the Psalms and stuff, it all because worship comes out of a response. Worship comes out of a response. That's a very important thing you need to make sure. Because it was primed this morning as Fred was talking, he was telling us all of God's goodness and His presence and His power and stuff. It just prompted me to want to worship this God, my God. And so here we have, and it comes out of a response. And so it's important for us to understand that. And so worship is a posture of the heart. 2 Corinthians 20:17 says, but you will not need to fight. Take your position and then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. You watch when you come to that place where you still yourself and worship. I found myself as a pastor having situations I don't know how to handle. I don't know how to confront. And when I've sat on His lap and just allowed Him to love me, I haven't put any requests on the table. I haven't put any needs on the table. I haven't put anything on the table. I just said, Dad, I thank you that you love me. You're just the best dad in the world. I thank you. And I can sense Him just rubbing my head saying, I love you, boy. Thank you for coming to Flagler. Thank you for bringing your family here. I just see Him doting on me, and it just brings another response out of me. And so that worship stills me and puts me into the rhythm of His thoughts and His flow. And so then the third thing I want to just tell you as we look at this is that we need to then pray and read. It's important that we first be still and worship, and then we start praying and reading. Praying is just the communication. And Jesus was our example. And so if we're asking Jesus, show us the way, and here He is, one of the examples in Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 35. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out on a to another isolated place to pray. So he pulled himself away because I guarantee you, the minute he opened his eyes, there was going to be demands on him. And so he pulled himself away. Psalm 119, verse 147. I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out to him for help and put my hope in your words. And while you're in that place of prayer, you get the word of the Lord. Two things I just want to instruct you that pastors really shouldn't be instructing you, because it's really not, is what to pray about and where to read. I just want to drop those in there while we're looking at praying and reading. What do we pray for? You pray for what's burdened on your heart. Prayer is a transferal of burden. Prayer, that's what prayer is, transferal of burden. I want to get into this place where I'm hearing God, but on my heart is my brother having chemo for leukemia, and the last time he had it, he flatlined, and it took him from 11 in the morning till 5 in the evening to get him back and settle down. So I am now knowing that he's going in for chemo today. So I'm now in a place where I want to hear God. There is no ways I'm really going to be able to hear God when I've got this gnawing thing until I can put it on the table. I want to transfer the burden from me to the Father and ask him to help me. And when I transfer that burden, I then can get on and properly pray. So it's important that we get to, because if you come back out of prayer and you still have the burden, the only thing you've done is griped. Okay? It's the only thing you've done is griped. And guess what? Us sheep are not pack animals. We can't carry any burdens. I don't think you can go and rent any pack animals called sheep to carry the burdens. And us sheepies, we can't do much of that. That's why Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And many times we are those ones that come and we lay our burden at Jesus' feet and say, Jesus, I actually left it there right at your right toe, Lord. I left that issue there with you, Lord. Lord, how's that doing? Oh, well, okay, let me just take it back again. Because that's what we do, because we just want God to be this instant God. No, you lay it there, leave it there, okay? And walk away, because that's what prayer does, leaves it there. Because sometimes you say, listen, have you given this to the Lord? He says, yes, many times. You either give it or you don't. It's okay, so I'm just going to just throw that in it. Okay, so what to pray about? Pray what's on your heart and lay that burden at his feet. He knows about it. Lay it there, give it to him, and then get on with being able to pray like the series Jesus teaches to pray. And so that's what you need to do. And where to read? Anything inside the covers of this, okay? Between this cover and this cover, anywhere there, that's a good place to read. Outside, out, Holy Bible, New Living Translation, you've done that, okay? Now get in the inside and read on the inside, anywhere there, when you come to that place. And while you're reading, it's amazing what Holy Spirit will tell you, even in Numbers. That'll be appropriate for the day. It's amazing what Holy Spirit can do. This is a living word that is alive, and it is, it's powerful, and you'd be amazed of how God takes it and just transforms it to you. And here is a lovely thing as a church we're reading through the Bible, and so we're digging into Daniel and into Luke, and we're doing the Proverbs and the Psalms as we go along. And it's so important that we get in there, because many things in that day will come out of, man, I read that. Or it's in context of why I saw that in the scriptures. And it's so important. So it's important that you pray and you read. Last thought I just want to leave with you is listen and write. Listen and write. Now, that some folk have problems trying to listen because they're trying to hear with your head. Don't try and hear with your head, because God is spirit, and he, spirit of the man, it dwells, it's more like a gut intuition and a gut flow of thoughts that comes out of that place where God speaks to your spirit, and then it comes a flow of thoughts, and it's not your thoughts, because I wouldn't have thought some of this, and I'll explain that to you here. So it's a flow of thoughts that come from the chest area that kind of, oh, I didn't know that. Like, God, where do we go and plant the church? Because we knew we had to lay down the church, the fellowship where we were in 17 years ago. And so I'm asking God. So there is no place in Scripture that says, go to Flagler Beach. I've looked through these scriptures. I'm going through the Bible again this year, and so far it has nothing that says go to Flagler Beach. Firstly, I didn't even know where Flagler Beach was, okay? So in this place where you're trying to hear God, how do you get to hear God to come? And the number of times people have asked us, why Flagler Beach? Interesting. How does God get this couple to come from Cape Town to Flagler Beach? Especially when you didn't even know Flagler Beach existed. But we had a couple that lived in Flagler Beach that came across and was part of a ministry team. We became friends with them, and they said they were at Flagler, so that's wonderful. We didn't know where Flagler was, but we became friends. And so when this turmoil came, when God says, I want you to lay it down, I want you to go and plant another church somewhere else, and I started with our local town, and he said, no, our local country, no, the continent of Africa. He said, no, God, I'm where? Bangladesh? Where? Where do we go? To Asia? Where do we go? And he just said this, flow from here. Who are the hearts and the people and the family I knit your hearts with in America? I said, oh, Oscar and Mary. Simple. You just phone them. Just that flow of thoughts. Where would I think of that? I'm looking for a place on a map. And then I get this flow of thought. So I pick up the phone. There, Oscar, funny question. What's God saying to you? He says, well, I built a three-story home in Flagler Beach expecting your arrival because I believe you're going to plant a church here. I think, hallelujah. That's how God speaks, eh? And then the journey was on. The Lord Jesus, the journey was on. And that's how it happens. In Psalm 45, verse 1, it says, beautiful words stir my heart. I will recite a lovely poem about the king. For my tongue is like the pen of a skillful poet. That's the psalmist putting it down there. 1 Chronicles 28:19. Every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in the writings from the hand of the Lord. So obviously David could hear the flow of thoughts from God. He doesn't speak audibly like that. He's a spirit, and that's how he speaks. Habakkuk 2:2 says, then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on a tablet so that you can run, so that a runner can carry the correct message to the others. I tell you what, when you write it down, it brings things into focus. It brings things, you know, if you ever read Mark 4, when the sower sows the word, there are all sorts of enemies that want to snatch the word. And you say, oh, I'll remember that. I can guarantee you by the time you got to work at 8 o'clock after you spent time in your, it's gone. And you think, where is it? What is the reference? Nothing. Write it down. You've got digital devices, man. You can speak into Siri and say, Siri, write this note. Do whatever you need to do, but write the stuff down because those nuggets will become application, become something that changes your destiny. Who would have thought that pastoring quietly in Cape Town would suddenly become a church plant in Flagler Beach? With a phrase saying, who have I knit your hearts with in America? That phrase changed my whole world, our world and our kids' world. That's what it is. So to hear God, we need to value it. We need to know that it's important. And you got to understand when you start off, the relationship's going to be something that has to mature. The hearing the voice will something that mature, but stick at it, and you'll get to hear the nature and the character of God, and you'll get to know. And so now, the direction, the instructions, the Lord leading Coastal. I don't know sometimes where are we going, God. What is it? But I know that He gives me enough faith. For today, grace for today, mercy for today, and now this is the message for today. Show me your way. And so we need to look at that. So if you want to hear God, set an appointment, be still and worship, pray and read, and listen and write. Hope that gives you some practical news you can use on Monday morning. And give it a whirl. Let's have a look how God is going to instruct you and challenge you. I'm telling you, we're setting the stage for something God's going to do that we've not seen on planet Earth ever is about to happen. And we better have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And so we need to set time aside There's so many things that will distract us. But I tell you what, you better make sure this is what you value. Because if you value it, God's going to fire you up and send you like a torpedo for the kingdom. And whoa, it's going to be exciting. Amen. Hallelujah. Where are the fine Muso team? Are they, back way back there. I want to pray for us, pray for you, and also give an opportunity for those that want to be prayed for and get ministered to before we release you to fellowship, because that's all part of church as well. So we're excited about that. Hallelujah. I hope that is good news that you can use as we look. God, show us your way. Hallelujah. So would you just pray with me? Father, thank you. Your word is always life. It always stirs us. It always excites us. It always challenges us to move forward. And so, Father, we want to be able to hear your voice clearer. And so we thank you that we've got these practical steps where we can look at that. But Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would minister now to your people. Coastal and those that are watching online, ask Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me about show me your way, God? About hearing you, God? What do I have to line up? What do I have to decide? While your anointing's in the room, Holy Spirit, we want to call on you to help us in what you're pointing out in our lives. Some of us, we've kind of strayed away from that place of intimacy and of being in that place or hearing you. And you may have to adjust that. You may have to revalue the value of that. And so, Father, thank you. Some of us have had a real complicated way of trying to hear God, but I hope this has simplified it, Father, that they would make the adjustment. So what is Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Have a chat with him. And listen to the flow of thoughts that will come from your heart. Father, we want to be hearers and doers of your word. I thank you that you're giving us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. We want to posture ourselves and position ourselves for what you're about to pour out on planet Earth that planet Earth has never seen in its life before. And Father, we want to be in the epicenter of what you're doing, how you're doing it. We thank you that we're going to be finding that place of absolute excitement for the advancement of your kingdom. But Father, in the sound of my voice, some people have never responded to your invitation to come to you and be your Lord and be their Lord and Savior. And so, Father, I just want to be able to take an opportunity to invite those to your home, to your house, to your family. And if that's you and you're in the sound of my voice and you've never responded to the invitation because Jesus has dealt with your sin, there's really a choice that makes you separated from him. And that's the choice of accepting him as Lord and Savior, as leader and Lord. So if that's you, it's an invitation that you respond to, and it's a prayer that you pray. We all pray it as a church out loud. So let's just all pray it together and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that you died on that cross for me. You paid for all my sins. Today, I respond to the invitation to be your son, to be your daughter. I accept you as Lord and the forgiver of my sins. And I say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you responded in that way, connect with me, connect on the Connect Corner. But just allow us to be able to journey on with you, because there is a way that you walk when Christ comes into your life. And so we want to make sure that you get to hear that, be able to do that. Hallelujah. We've got a couple of situations that have happened, and obviously there's a couple that had a bad accident in the church this week, and neck surgery and all that. Xander and Meg's, because we don't know. And so we want to just pray for them. His neck technically was broken, And so they did surgery and they braced it, put that. Megan's put her head through the windshield because the airbags failed to deploy and the seatbelts didn't work. And so, yeah. Anyway, so they are recovering and do need to delicately move these next couple of days just so that their body can be restored. So if there's as a family, we can just pray for them. So Father, just bring Xander Mix to you. I just really thank you. So many miracles have taken place so far to bring them to that place where their health can go forward. And so Father, we just thank you that they're shaken up. They need emotional comfort. They need to be surrounded with your loving arms. And so we thank you that your presence is near. Thank you, Father, that their recovery will be complete and they'll be back to full strength. And we understand the enemy comes to tries to kill, steal, and destroy. But Father, we thank you that you have given Zoe life to Xander and Megan. Pray for Dave Cape, Lord, as his stomach recovers from being 60% removed. And Father, that the oncologist will give him a good report as he's back in South Africa. And the guidance of that oncologist, we thank you for healing. And those that are, Father, have been struggling with health, and even those that are battling maybe with the symptoms of COVID, we just really thank you. You are more than enough. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So we're going to ask the music team just to sing one or two choruses, one or two verses. And then in that process, if you really want prayer, please come up here. And the team that would come and pray for you guys. But I want to give you the opportunity to get prayed for. The Bible says, believers lay hands. Two agree touching anything is done by our Father in heaven. So come up here. And then the music will stop and we'll go into quiet music and we'll allow us to pray. But while the music's playing, come on up and then we'll close and release you in prayer when everybody's up here for prayer. And really thank you for being with us today. Remember, church is not over until at least 11:30. You've got to chat to at least a couple of folk before you go home, because that's all church. God bless you.